I got a message on my heart, and I tried all week long to talk the Lord out of it. And because I knew I was going to dedicate the babies, and that just tickles me to death. I love Vacation Bible School. I don't do nothing except just see the kids and just love them and just be around them. And just it just blesses my heart to hear them sing and to see them around all over the building. And I'm going to tell you, it was a blessing to see all those kids here in Vacation Bible School. I'd love to see every one of them in Sunday school. And that would be a blessing. That would triple our attendance right there in Sunday school. We could get all the kids in. But this message is on my heart. And so you bear with, I pray God to make it real. God, the Holy Ghost, is the only one to make anything real to us. But I'm going to read just one verse to us this morning. And I want you to look at verse 7 of Psalm 76. Verse 7 of Psalms 76. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? The last point of the Sundays of the Vacation Bible School lessons in every age group in regard to our relationship to God as did was Noah was that God is to be feared, reverential trust. And that is that we respect Him, we honor Him. And then he said this. He said, who, well, look at verse 7 again. And who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? I read that verse several weeks ago now. And boy, it just kind of run a cold chill over me. Who can stand in the presence of the Lord when once He is angry? Angry. Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, says this in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7, that the Lord is good and He's a blessing. I want to read that to you. You don't have to turn to it. Nehemiah chapter number 9. Listen to what it says about Israel and then what it says about the Lord. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. He said, you're a great God, and you're slow to anger. And when Israel made a golden calf, and they were going to go back into bondage into Egypt, even then you didn't forsake them. Your hand was still stretched after them. And you're a God slow to anger. But when He gets angry, who can stand in His presence? The question is a rhetorical question. That means there's no answer to it except for one. And that is this. Who can stand before the Lord when He's angry? No one. No nation, no individual, no church, no city, no state. If God gets angry, there's no stay in His hand. There's no stopping Him. You think about what we call nature. They forecast and they do everything they can about hurricanes. And they can tell you it's coming. And the wind's going to be so strong. And we're going to have a tidal surge and this, that, and the other. But they can't stop it. They can forecast and say, just give an alert just seconds prior to the touchdown or the sighting of a tornado. And they can tell you it's a 5 or 4 or 3, but they can't stop it. And when it comes, they may have forecast it, but it wiped out an entire city. You can't stop it. And who can stand before Him when He's angry? Boy, like I said, it sent cold chills over me when I began to read that. Because in the back of my mind and my heart, I feel like God may be angry with America. Because of what we've done and how we've lived and how we've discounted God. And I begin to think about some questions. Number one, with whom is He angry? Who is He, who with whom is He angry? Why is He angry? And what does He do when He's angry? And is there any way to turn His anger? You say, Brother Billy, we ought to preach on the love of God. Well, you know good and well I preach on the love of God all the time. But I'm going to tell you, it's high time that God's people and our nation wake up and understand He is a holy God, and He will not wink at sin, and He will judge sin. And God can get angry. How many of you know that you can love somebody with all your heart and still be angry at them? Raise your hand. Look around. About every one of these people have had teenagers, I promise you. You can love somebody and still be angry. So not only do you understand that He's a God of love, but I want you to understand He is a God of anger. And He's slow to anger, but when He becomes angry, it's not, I told you, I told you, I told you, I told you, I'll tell you. And you know, parents sometimes, they warn and warn and warn, and they never execute. God's not that way. Amen. There comes a point in time when God says, that's it. Witness the flood. He said, the end of all flesh has come before me, because every thought, every imagination of their heart is only evil continually. I will destroy everything in whose nostrils is the breath of life. And He did. Except for those precious souls and those animals inside that ark. God will execute His anger and His justice. But He can do it as a holy God and be absolutely sinless. The Bible said, be angry and sin not, and God can be angry and not sin. He executes His holiness. He executes His judgment. Whom He's angry. I thought what I'd do is I'd go through, get my concordance, I'd pick out the few verses in the Bible about God being angry, because I just read this in Psalms a few weeks ago and it jumped off the page at me. Who can stand before You when once Thou art angry? I thought I'd go through the Bible and pull out the few verses about God being angry and preach those to you this morning. I want you to know that there are over 200 times in the Bible when God's anger was kindled. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. And He is slow to anger, but He does get angry. And He does execute that anger. Of whom is He angry? Look in your Bible in Psalms number 7 and at verse number 11. Psalms 7 and verse 11. Who does God get angry at? Why does He get angry? And what does He do when He gets angry? In Psalms number 7, I want you to look at verse number 11, or either just write it down and you look at it a little bit later. God judges the righteous. That means those who know the Lord. The Bible said He chastens every son whom He receives. And He said it is time for judgment to begin at the house of God. I'm not sure but what God doth execute judgment and execute His wrath on children of God before He does anybody else. Because we ought to know better. We have the Holy Ghost of God living inside of us. We got the Bible. We have the example of history. We have experienced the bountiful blessings of God. God's been so good to us, and He's blessed us. And everybody in this building knows that the time you've really, really been happy in your life and in your heart, when you were living for God and walking for God and being faithful to God. And when you get out of His will, there's nobody in Johnson County more miserable than a Christian out of the will of God. And He says, first, He said, I will execute judgment on the righteous. He said, God judges the righteous. And look at the last phrase, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Does God love sinners? Calvary says He does. Calvary says He loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves sinners. But is He angry with them? Yes. How much of the time is He angry with them? Every day. Why, you say, Brother Billy, He's talking about that homosexual crowd. He's talking about those who commit adultery and liars and cheaters and all those. Yes, that's wicked. But He said in the book of 2 Chronicles 7:14 that you and I, if we'll humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. He's talking about God's people. And I'm going to tell you right now, God does love us, And he does love you, but he is angry with the wicked every day. And if your name's on the membership roll of Benson Grove Baptist Church and you're living out of the will of God, God is angry with you. And who can stand before the Lord when he once has become angry? You say, Brother Billy, what's it mean? What does it mean? Who's he angry with? He's angry with the wicked every day. Look in Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, here he testifies about the judgment of God and the execution of God's judgment. Psalms number 78, if you will, please. Look with me there. In Psalm 78, I want to call your attention, first of all, to verse number 49. Psalm 78, verse 49. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation, and trouble, and sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. And he smote all the firstborn of Egypt, the chief of their strength, in the tabernacles of Ham. God was angry with Egypt. When he brought the children of Israel out, he was angry with them. And he executed his judgment and his anger with them. But if you look a little further in this psalm, look down at verse number 56. He now is referring to the children of God. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. And they were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy for their graven images. And when the Lord heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. Did you know that God became angry at Israel? You know what he did to those people? He allowed the Assyrians to come and take the northern tribes, and he allowed the Babylonians to come and take the southern tribe, and he uprooted them out of their homes, their men, women, and children. Many of them died because of the anger of God. Why? Why? I'll deal with some of that in a minute. But he tells us here, that wasn't God's plan for them. He said, I'm going to bring you into a land flow of milk and honey. I'll bless you. I'll meet every need. He said, I'll give you everything you need if you just honor me, worship me, and keep my commandments. But when they got in the land and they became fat and full and satisfied, they turned their back on God and they began to say, we've done all this ourselves. We don't need God. And they went on for a while, and then God became angry. And who can stand before God once he's angry? Not the great nation of Egypt. You can go visit Egypt if you want to today. You can see the great pyramids that they built, or probably the Jews built. But the nation of Egypt today is really a non-entity. The nation of Israel has been brought back from captivity in May of 1948. But he dispersed them, and they were dispersed for 70 years, and then after the crucifixion of our Lord, they were dispersed again in 70 A.D. Not until 1948 did he allow them to come back into the land. That a lot of people died in those time period. Why? Because the Lord was angry with them. Angry with them. I'm telling you right now, who can stand before the Lord when once he's angry? Not Egypt. Not his beloved Israel. But there's another step. Turn in the Bible to the book of Isaiah. Look in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 13. Who can stand before the Lord when once he's angry? I don't know about you. I really don't want to be angry at me. I love him. I want to serve him not out of fear but out of love. But I certainly don't want him to get angry at me, because who can stand before him when he's angry? Nobody. Not the mighty nation of Israel, not the mighty nation of Babylon, not the mighty nation of Assyria, not the Roman Empire. When he gets angry, no turning back. Notice, if you will, please, in the book of Isaiah chapter 13. I want to begin reading at verse number 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. This is a prophecy. Cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. The stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked in their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. He's going to judge the world. He's going to bring judgment on them. He's going to do all that. Notice what it said in verse 9. Behold, the day Lord cometh, both with wrath and fierce anger. That's a prophecy. That prophecy could be 2016. Not just Israel, not just Egypt, not just Assyria, not just Babylon, but the whole world. Whole world. He said, I'm going to judge, I'm going to execute my fierce anger on the whole world. I don't want him angry at me. If he's able to destroy the whole nation of Israel, Egypt, the Assyrians, Babylonia, and the whole world, I don't want God mad at me. I don't want him angry at me. Why does he get angry? Why does he get angry? Well, can I tell you there are over 200 verses that deal with the anger of the Lord, and his anger was kindled against them. I'm certainly not going to try to deal with them this morning. Don't have time. I want to go to the book of Exodus, and we'll kind of start back there just real quickly this morning. Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus chapter 4. I want to know what makes him angry. Because whatever it is, I don't want to do it. In Exodus chapter 4, here he's speaking about Moses. And it's obvious when you think about Sodom and Gomorrah, when you think about the great flood, that sin, that wickedness, debauchery, lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, homosexuality, adultery, all of those things, that's a given. But when I come to the book of Exodus chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in heart. The Bible said that God got angry at Moses. Why did he get angry at him? Because he made an excuse for not doing what God wanted him to do. He said, you go back into Egypt and you tell those people, let my children go. And Moses said, I am not an eloquent man, Lord. He began to make excuses for why he could not do what God wanted him to do. And wherever God guides, he always provides. And he's not looking for anybody with ability, but he's looking for people with availability. But he said, whenever God tells you to do something and you begin to make excuses, it makes God angry. Go back to the house. Trash has fallen out of the trash can in the kitchen. And you have a teenage son who lives somewhere between here and who knows where in his mind. And you say, son, go in the kitchen and get that trash and take it out and put it in the trash can outside or in the dumpster or do something with it. He said, well, Mom, I'm listening to my favorite CD. I'll do it later. Or I'm playing a video game and I'll do it later. Mom, you've got four children. Why can't they can't do it? How come I've got to always take out the trash? You love them with all your heart, but you won't listen to that but just a few minutes before you say, son, I brought you into this world. I can take you out of this world. Take the trash out. You love him with all your heart, but you'll get angry. When he begins to make excuses for why he does not do your will. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And then it goes on and talks about those who willfully sin. It's all connected together about being faithful to the house of God, about attending an assembly with God's people. And he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And then we begin to make excuses for why we can't be faithful to the house of God. It makes God mad. It makes him angry when we make excuses. It's an awful thing to make God angry. Who can stand? He may listen to that for a while. He may deal with you through the Holy Spirit of God. He may deal with you through your Sunday school teacher or through a deacon or through the pastor or through a friend or even through your own children that we need to be in church. We ought to be at the house of God. But if God gets angry at you, if God gets angry at you, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. He said this, God, I can't do it. He began to make excuses. Well, let's look a little bit further in this passage of Scripture and see something else. And while you're in the book of Old Testament, go to the book of Numbers chapter 11. Oh, listen, I know in what we call the obvious sins, big sin, God gets angry at that. He gets angry when we cuss. He gets angry when we become a drunkard, because we lust and all those things. That's given. But notice what he said in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 11. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the wrath of the Lord among them consumed them that were in the uttermost of the camp. They complained, and God got angry. You ever complain about God's providence in your life? You ever complain about God's provision in your life? You ever complain about what you got? Everybody else has got this, and I don't have that. I don't have nothing. Why does God bless them and I don't have nothing? And you've got a house. You talked to Brother T.G. Ennis. He just came back from Ghana where there's no sewer system. I'm talking about even the cities. It's an open trench and all the human waste goes in that and it runs down by your house and everybody else's house. God's been so good to us here in this country and we complain about everything. We complain about what we don't have. We complain about God's providence, what's going on in our life. We complain about things at church. We complain about things at work. We complain about everything. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And you'll go a whole week and not ever praise God for your breath or your heartbeat or the fact that you can see or walk. You forget about all that. All you are is a complainer. Complain, complain, complain. God gets tired of it after a while, and he gets angry about those who complain. God gets angry. Go a little bit further in your Bible this morning. I want you, while you're here in Numbers, go over to chapter number 12, not very far. Chapter number 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, for he had taken he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out, ye three, into the tabernacle congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and I will speak to him in a dream, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speech. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. God got angry at Moses' sister and at Aaron because they challenged the leadership of God's chosen man. Got mad about that. They said, Moses is no different than anybody else. God speaks by us like he does anybody else. Moses did not choose to lead Israel. God appointed him. God put him there. And God got angry. And when God got angry at Miriam and he withdrew from the tabernacle, she was eat up with leprosy. I really don't want God angry at me, because there's a lot of things that come on people physically because of the anger of the Lord. Not everything, but there's a lot that comes on because of that. I want to show you one other verse in the New Testament. Mark, the book of Mark. This is one of the only direct references of anger in the New Testament. It's demonstrated over and over again, like the Lord when he drove the money changers out of the temple and all those things. But in Mark chapter 3, I want to read this. And he entered into the synagogue, and there was a certain man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. There's a man there, he's got a withered hand. They know Jesus is compassionate. And they were waiting, just setting a trap, see if he would have compassion to heal that man on the Sabbath. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, that is those who were thinking what they were thinking, did you know God knows what you're thinking? Did you know that God can get angry just because of what you're thinking? And they were thinking, we're going to see if he heals on the Sabbath, we'll get him trapped. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Number one, they were caught. They didn't say nothing. He put forth a question they couldn't answer, and they were astonished that he knew what they were thinking. If they said it's good to do evil on the Sabbath day, it's good to do good on the Sabbath day, they were in a trap. But now what's the next statement? Verse 5, and when he looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole in the same hour, at that very moment, as the other. The Lord healed him just like that. Just like that. But what made the Lord angry with these people? It was the hardness of their heart. The hardness of their heart. They were more concerned about their prestige and their position and their theological stance than having a compassionate heart and helping people and want to see them saved or healed, either one. That's right. He makes another statement and said, you won't go in. You don't even want nobody else to go in. Angry. And a hard heart makes God angry. We ought to have a compassionate heart. And when you think about lives and think about heart, the main thing you ought to think about is seeing them get saved and seeing them grow in the Lord and having a compassionate heart, a tender heart. When Jesus looked on the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He convulsed with compassion. He suffered with them. You and I have a hard heart. But a hard heart makes him angry. So what does he do? What does he do when he's angry? Psalms 38. Listen, bear with me. I'm going to be through in a few minutes. This might help you, might save you a hospital visit. Psalms 38, listen to the testimony of David. What does he do when he gets angry? The Lord rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Now, the Bible said he chastens every son. If you're a child of God and you disobey him, you expect chastening. It means a corrective discipline. Watch this. For thy arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore, and there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. When God gets angry sometimes, it affects us physically. He said, there's no soundness in my flesh. And he said, there's no rest for me. He said in verse number 8, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared in the reason of the disquietness of my heart. There's a disquietness in you. When God gets angry at you, there's no peace. There's no joy. There's no soundness in your flesh. I don't want to make him angry. I don't want to make him angry. God said, I'll share this with you. I won't take time to look them all up. Psalm 77, verse 9, David said, have you shut up your tender mercies because of your anger? The Bible said he is long-suffering and he is merciful and full of grace, full of mercy. But when he gets angry, he can shut off his mercies. Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. Grace is what we receive that we don't deserve. But did you know that God can cut the tap off on his mercy if he wants to? If you make God angry, he's under no obligation to extend mercy to you. He could just take the restraint off and whatever's coming your way can come. He don't have to stop the devourer. He doesn't have to stop the physical problems, the financial problems, the family problems. He can cut off the mercy if he wants to. Sometimes he gets angry. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing to be living out of the will of God and not only to experience all the loss of your joy and your peace and everything, but to know God's cut the tap off of his mercy? You are at the mercy of the world, the flesh, and the devil. If it wasn't for the grace of God, wasn't for the mercies of God, we'd all be consumed. But if he gets angry, and I'm going to tell you right now, America has been living on borrowed time. We have not received what we do deserve as a nation, but God can cut it off today at 12 noon, which might have just passed. The tender mercies, and all these other things that can happen. Turn to Psalms 85. Psalms 85. You say, Brother Billy, I don't want God angry at me. Well, you ought to live right. You ought to do the best you can to be faithful to the house of God. You ought not make excuses for not serving God, loving God, being faithful to Him. You ought to pay your tithes. You ought to give to missions. You'll do those things. If somebody came in your house tonight and robbed you of everything you got, would you be angry? Well, sure you would. He said in the book of Malachi, you've robbed me. And they said, where did we rob thee? He said, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. It all belongs to the Lord. Psalms 85, is there anything I can do to turn his anger? Is there anything I can do to avert his anger? Psalms 85, Lord, thou hast been faithful unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath, and thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thy anger toward us to cease. Here's how you get out from under the anger of God. You repent. Turnus means repentance. You turn from your idol worship, from your unfaithfulness, from your complaining, from all those things, and you turn to the Savior. You look to Him and ask Him, forgive you for your sin. And if we confess our sin, His faith just forgive us. But can I tell you, my dear friend, if you don't, you're living on thin ice. If God decides that you've gone far as He wants you to go, He may unleash His fierce anger on you and your family and everything you've got. Listen, I got a lot of verses, got a lot of things to share. I'm not going to go into all of them. But I do want to share one last verse with you, and I'll stop right here. Jeremiah chapter number 3. In Jeremiah chapter 3, one other verse I'd like to share with you this morning. As Jeremiah the prophet, much like Isaiah, is pleading with the nation of Israel, begging them to get right, begging them to be obedient. Notice what he says in verse 12 of chapter 3. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married to you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you. Listen, he said, only acknowledge your iniquities, confess, and return to the Lord. Now you say, Brother Billy, I can do what I want to. You can. You can. And I can bury you when you die. Did you know there is a sin unto death? If you go on and on and on, and God deals with you and chastens you, there's a sin unto death. You say, Brother Billy, what is it? It is unrepentance. Only return to the Lord and confess your sin and return to the Lord, and I will not send my fierce anger upon you. You got a choice. But I'll tell you, I'm just telling you, you really don't want Him angry at you. You really, really, really don't want Him angry at you. It's in the Bible over 200 times. And they provoked Him to anger. He's long-suffering. He's slow to anger. But you keep on and keep on and keep on. And God someday may say, that's it. That's it. I hesitate to use this illustration, but you can identify with it. If you've got kids or grandkids, you know what I'm saying. I'm not much of a cartoon person, a comic book person, but I do know there's a fellow called the Hook. How many of you ever heard of the Hook? Raise your hand. Used to be on television a little bit. Richard Banner, I don't know if that's his name or not. But when he wasn't the Hulk, he was like a normal person. And people would start messing with him or doing things. And he said, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Please understand, God's holy. He doesn't turn into some grotesque being. He's a holy, righteous God. He is a consuming fire. He's still God. He's still gracious. He's still holy. He's still just. But you will not like Him when He's angry with you. I'd whole lot rather experience the kiss of pardon. I'd whole lot rather be like that prodigal that came running home and said, "Father, make me as a hired servant." And the father fell on his neck and kissed him and said, "Put shoes on his feet and a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf." You see, He's not wanting to judge you. He's not wanting His wrath to fall on you. But if you don't return from your sin, it'll be your fault, not His. Will you bow with me in prayer? Not going to have any music this morning. No singing, nothing. I want you to sit before God for a few minutes, let it soak. When I read this verse of Scripture some time ago, God began to deal with my heart. I told you, it just kind of gave me cold chills that I thought about. Who can stand before God once He is angry? There's an answer. Nobody. No nation, no country, no army, no individual, no church. If God gets angry, nobody can restrain Him, hold Him back, or stop Him. I don't want Him to get angry at me. I fail the Lord more than you'd ever know. But He sweetly spoke to me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. He's often humbled me, convicted me deeply, lose my joy, lose my power. And so far, He's been gracious to give repentance. And I've repented and asked Him to forgive me, and I thank God for that. I'm glad He's always been with me and He'll always be with you. But I'm just telling you right now, if I talk to 99% of you in here and you say, "I talked to you about the condition of this nation, how wicked it is," you say, "I don't see how it could go on, I don't see how God can keep from judging it," I want you to think about your own life. Who can stand before the Lord when once He is angry? You don't want to make Him mad. You don't want Him to be angry at you.